One very important question for every physical theory is how to describe measurements. So let's have a look to a measurement in quantum mechanics. A measurement is the interaction for a finite amount of time between two quantum systems. One system is the system to be measured, and the other system is the apparatus that performs the measurement. From now on, I will, for simplicity, refer to them just as system and apparatus. They are normal quantum mechanical systems that evolve according to the Schrödinger equation, and they just interact for a finite time. But if we want to call one of the two systems measurement apparatus, then this system must have some special property that identifies it as such. So let's look at these properties. The apparatus must have a state, let's call it capital phi zero of y, where y is the configuration of the apparatus. And the state phi zero is the ready state. That means the state of the apparatus before the measurement. Then there must be other states. Let's call them capital phi I of y, that are the states that correspond to the different outcomes of the apparatus. A measurement apparatus is something that must have something like a pointer that at the end of the measurement has some clearly distinguishable states. It must be possible to read out the outcome. The pointer must point either one or two or three on a scale. This means that the states phi I must have clearly distinguished supports in configuration space. In other words, if this here is the region where phi 1, for example, is non-zero, so the support of phi 1, then the region where phi 2 is non-zero, that is the support of phi 2, this region must be clearly disjoint. They must have no overlap. In this way, one can clearly identify what the outcome of the measurement is. That is, in which state the apparatus is at the end of the measurement. One more property that one needs is that the apparatus must be somehow sensitive to the state of the system to be measured. So there must be a family of states phi I of x, where x is now the configuration of the system to be measured, such that the apparatus is able to distinguish them. That means that if at the beginning the system is in the state phi I of x and the apparatus is in the ready state phi zero of y, then after the interaction the composite system must be phi I t of x, where t is the duration of the measurement, times capital phi I of y. So the outcome of the measurement reads out the state of the system to be measured. Now we have a problem. Indeed, the Schrödinger equation is linear. Therefore, we can consider as state for the system to be measured a superposition of the phi I. So the initial state of the composite system can be phi I ci times the ready state. And this, also by linearity of the Schrödinger equation, evolves into the sum over I of ci phi I t times capital phi I of y. That is, at the end of the measurement, we have a superposition of pointers pointing in different directions. We have a superposition of different outcomes. And this is not what we observe. if we do a measurement, then we get one definite outcome for each run of the experiment. We do not get a superposition of outcomes. This is what is called the measurement problem in standard quantum mechanics. Standard quantum mechanics attempts to solve this problem by the so-called collapse of the wave function. One introduces a break into the Schrödinger equation. One says that the composite system evolves according to the Schrödinger equation up to a certain point. Then a new dynamics sets in that reduces the sum into just one of the summons. That's why one says the sum collapses to one of the summons. And then the Schrödinger equation continues. The Schrödinger evolution goes on. His explanation is very common, but it's actually not really viable. One problem is that if you take it seriously, then you are not actually allowed to say that macroscopic objects, and in particular the apparatus that makes the measurement, are composed by atoms. The reason is one atom evolves according to the Schrödinger equation. Two atoms evolve according to the Schrödinger equation, and so do three, four, and so on. No matter how many atoms you consider, they always follow the Schrödinger equation, that is always linear. So you are forced to say that macroscopic objects, measurement apparatuses, are fundamentally different from quantum objects. You cannot say that they are composed of quantum systems, they are composed of atoms. Moreover, there is another problem, namely, it is unclear when one should use the Schrödinger dynamics and when the collapse sets in. Sometimes it is claimed that the measurement problem in standard quantum mechanics is not a real problem because of decoherence. So let's briefly look at that. The wave function of the composite system after the measurement is this one, and I'll call this psi of x, y at time capital T after the interaction is over. This is a sum of several states. That means all these states are realized at the same time. We have the state corresponding to the outcome 1 and the state corresponding to the outcome 2 and that of the outcome 3 and so on. This is the relation between the states that we have. But now let's have a look to the modulus squared of this wave function. So we calculate now psi squared. And if we multiply out the square, then we can divide it into diagonal terms. Plus off diagonal terms, that are terms with the sum over I not equal j of ci star phi I t star, capital phi I star, and then cj phi j phi capital j. Now the capital phis are evaluated at y, and you see that in the same term one has phi I and phi j. And as I said before, for a measurement apparatus, when phi I is non-zero, then phi j must be approximately at least equal to zero. So these diagonal terms are approximately vanishing, and we can approximate this modulus squared by the diagonal terms alone. Now, for such a sum of the diagonal terms alone, it is true that the statistics that one gets are indistinguishable from those of a statistical mixture. This means essentially that the diagonal terms that are those responsible for quantum interference are not present anymore. The process that with the time going makes the non-diagonal term vanish is what is called decoherence. Now, a statistical mixture is what one gets if the state of the system is a definite state, but just one doesn't know which one. And therefore, one considers the state 1, or the state 2, or the state 3, and so on. And one keeps all of these possibilities in parallel. But you have to see that what we really have is the sum of these states. The sum is a logical AND. We have several states connected by a logical AND. Now, the fact that a couple of terms in this sum vanish, or approximately vanish, does not change a logical AND into a logical OR. This means that in one single run, we do not get one single outcome out of this formalism. A step is still missing. We still need the collapse of the wave function to get one single outcome for each run of the experiment. So now let's have a look at the measurement in Bohmian mechanics. In Bohmian mechanics, we have no measurement problem because besides the wave function, there is also the configuration of the system, the actual configuration of the system. So the apparatus, the pointer, is actually made of the point particles of Bohmian mechanics. And they can have only one configuration. So the particles can build the configuration that shows the outcome 1, or that shows the outcome 2, or that shows the outcome 3. We naturally get one definite outcome here, and not several superimposed. Moreover, if we look at the configuration state of the composite system, we will have a structure like that. We will have several regions corresponding to the several outcomes, the several functions phi I being different from zero. So in the first, in one region phi 1 is different from zero, in the other region phi 2 is different from zero, and so on, and so on. Now the actual Bohmian configuration must have a definite value. So let's say, for example, that it sits inside the region where phi 2 is different from zero. So now we have several branches of the wave function, the 1, 2, and 3, and the actual configuration is inside the branch that corresponds to the outcome 2. Now, the probability of finding the actual configuration at a certain position is given by psi squared. And therefore, if psi squared is 0, the actual configuration never goes there. So if the actual configuration is in the branch number 2, it will never cross the region between these different branches to go into another branch. It will never switch the branch, because the region between them is such that psi squared is 0, and the actual configuration doesn't go there. So if these branches stay separate and far away from each other for any later time, that for measurement situation is actually the case, as one can show, then the actual configuration of the composite system will, for any later time, stay inside the branch number 2 and never leave that branch. This means that the wave function corresponding to the other branches are irrelevant for what concerns the dynamics of the actual configuration at any later time. Therefore, we can just neglect these other branches and concentrate on the branch number 2 in this example, that is the one where the actual configuration is. This is what is called the effective collapse of the wave function in Bohmian mechanics, and this will be explained in more detail in the next section.